comes back to money. Akes Sefyan Esakel. Okay, so we learned yesterday, let's read the Sikkim again, Pasuk. Let's read the Sikkim again, Pasuk Dalet. And hey, Vashem, he til ruach gedoyle el hayam. Hashem, he cast, or Hashem very delicately, two different translations. He cast, very delicately, he transferred, he moved the ruach gedoyle el hayam. El hayam, he knows the word el. And the discussion yesterday before, we yonalize down el, yarkasei. The more you learn, the more you realize how many details there are, things over here that are playing with our mind. The different various meanings of the word hetil and the different meanings of the word el. The first time it says el, it seemingly means towards. The second time it says el, it means al. El al, like the airplane. El and al, two different meanings of the word. And the two different meanings of the word hetil, the Aramaic word and the Hebrew word. Vashem hetil ruach gedol el hayam, vahi sa'ar gadol. What is a sa'ar? How does the word sa'ar differ than the word ruach? Okay, that also needs to be understood. Sa'ar gadol bayam, towards this repetition. There's a ruach gedol el hayam, and there is a sa'ar gadol bayam. There's el hayam, and it's bayam. V'ho'aniyah, the ship, chishavah lehishaver. Why does it say v'ho'aniyah? Why doesn't it say the sfina? That's a general question. Chishavah lehishaver. We have three translations. The word chishavah, either it means the anshei sfina thought they would be destroyed, or chishra means it appeared. Doesn't mean no one's thinking. It means it appeared to an observer, to an outsider. If an outsider would look at this situation, it would appear that it would be destroyed. And the third translation of the Malbim, the most novel, which we're in the middle of, is now the Malbim, it is the Abarbanel. He quotes the Abarbanel. Yeah. Chishva is that they made, the boat was in danger of sinking.
In other words, as he translates it, threatened to break up.
Well, threatened is...
That's closest to the last...
To Rashi. To Dimyoin.
The last one you said. No.
Rashi, Dimyoin.
No.
Chishra means a calculation.
The last one you just said.
It's it. That according to the Barbaros. So the Barbaros means they made a calculation. Chishva, they directed the ship so that it should break, instead of allowing, doing nothing and the boat sinking. The Abarbanel differentiates the two ends. It could either sink, or we can redirect the ship and crash land, make a controlled crash landing. A controlled crash landing would mean the boat would be broken into pieces. If we do nothing, the boat's not going to be broken apart. The boat's going to sink. But if the boat sinks, we all die. But if we do a controlled crash landing, there's a possibility someone may survive. So chishava is an active verb. Chishava, the people on the svina, we're adding the word ve'anshe ha'huania, chishava, they made a decision to guide. They made a calculated decision to guide the boat to an area where it would crash land against very harsh rocks, lihi shaver, that it should better break apart through a crash landing than sink in the middle of the ocean and there would be no survivors. That was the Abarbanel. That's where we got up to yesterday. And the Malbim says, I do not like his interpretation. I actually love it, but obviously I'm not going to argue with the Abarbanel. Malbim
and the Abarbanel agreed a lot.
He quotes him all the time.
The Malbim quotes the Abarbanel a lot of times, but he always ends off on a little more spiritual note. Uh-huh. And Abarbanel goes more
pshat.
Pshat.
Okay.
He likes to give it a more religious spin.
Okay, definitely. So let's see over here. We're up to on page 411, on 411, and he writes. Let's we're up to v'zed doicha gadol. Okay, so we're up to. Okay. You count down from the top, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's 8 lines down. After he says this fascinating interpretation of the Abarbanel, which really, to me, resonates with me a lot. I'm really enamored with this, but who am I? He says, "Vze doichak godol ke das balabais hepech midas Torah." You may like this interpretation; it may sound really good, but you should know this is forcing words, translations, and interpretations into the text that, in his opinion, does not exist.
It's a big stretch.
It's a big stretch. Ze doichak godol. Shaloi achareze. What's the? What is his proof that this cannot be the pshat? Achareze oimer. It says that they the hard word to translate, it means they maneuvered. We have to see later on, they maneuvered, it says later, they maneuvered the people l'hashiv el hayabasha. They didn't try to do a crash landing. It says they tried to bring the boat back to shore.
But that's the only way. Yeah, they right. No, that's what the Barbanel said. They wanted to get back to shore, but if that's so how it would happen,
right?
Why that's how it happened. But
obviously, that's how the that's obviously what the Barbanel understands,
what I mean. But
right?
That's why I said the Maldives is a little bit more like
the Barbanel. Right, so it's Avraham obviously dealt with this, and obviously felt like he's saying, Adraba, the plan to have a controlled crash landing is to return the boat to dry land, and hopefully we'll make it.
Correct.
But it's more likely there'll be a crash landing. We'll hit hard rock, and the boat will break apart.
Still a better chance of survival.
But the Malbim says it doesn't fit according to his understanding of the text. The word, the fact that it says vayachteru ha'anashim l'ashir, if they maneuvered. Okay, they maneuvered the Lohashiv El Hayabasha. It appears to be okay that there was no plan to do a controlled crash landing. It was simply to get back to shore. Umikra mole ruach hoakadim shevorech belev yamim. Another pasuk is that. What are you telling me? According to the Malba, according to the Barbanel. There is no, if we do absolutely nothing, the ship will not break apart. It'll sink. What are you talking about? It's a beferish pasuk in Yecheskel that it's normal that when a ship is in the middle of the sea and there's a very strong storm, the ship breaks apart due to being tossed and turned. It says in Yecheskel, Ruach HaKodim, Shivorech, an eastern wind will break you to smithereens, belave yamim, in the heart of the sea. The Barbanel says, if you're in the middle of the sea, there's no danger of breaking. You'll go up and down, up and down, up and down. You're not going to break apart. You only can break apart if you crash land. No one's crash landing. You're in water. Water, you go up and down. The danger is you're going to sink. Excuse me. It says in Yecheskel that when you're in the sea and there are very strong winds, what happens is shivorech, shever. The ships break into smithereens. So what are you talking about? You're making up science fiction. He's basically saying to the Barbanel, science fiction. You would think the other way around. The Barbanel would be the one that would say to everyone else, you're making up science. He was the one that was very familiar with science. Okay, but the Baal Mam over here is very tough.
Malbim talks of science a lot.
Yeah, okay, but he's quoting Psukim here. Okay, so whatever these things mean. But he's just, over here, they do not see eye to eye. Okay, they do not see eye to eye in the simple translation. What are the issues? Ki haruach yishaber es ha-toiren. Go out into the sea and you'll see that the ruach, the strong winds, break the turn of the mast. Umifrishay. Hasafina and the people who control the sails, Shehem Ikar Hoania, the Ikar of the boat which guides the boat is the wind which you need sails to guide the boat. The people who are in charge of the sails, Kemosham Begitin Daf Chafes, and when that breaks, and we know it to be a fact. We know that's a fact that the wind breaks the mast and the sails are no longer functional. And once the sails are no longer functional, forget it. You're done. You have no control. You have no control. You lost control of. Years ago, I used to watch these horrifying episodes of on YouTube of investigations of crane clashes of what's it called? Ear disaster. My adrenaline going like nothing else. to us some of these horrific stories, how they would reconstruct. It's just amazing. It's blown away how they're able to reconstruct when there's a Rahman Lutzlan, a terrible plane crash, and they show the whole investigation, and they come down, and how it's amazing how they're able to discover the cause, the source of what went wrong after a very lengthy investigation, and ruba de ruba. Almost every single investigation leads to a change in industry, in how planes are designed, and how procedures, technology changes due to Rahman al-Islam, these terrible tragedies. There's a permanent change in the industry. So here, and one of the common horrors, the common denominator is when the pilots lose control, when you no longer have control over your aircraft, then it's just a piece of metal in the sky. And here it's really the Malam is saying exactly that. If the wind, as a fact, strong winds destroy the mast of the ship, that means the sailors have no control over guiding, steering the ship. And when that is the ultimate shavira, that is the ultimate destruction. If you cannot control, you cannot steer your ship, then what's
it's
it worth?
More likely to capsize than to break up.
Well, that was our discussion. That is exactly the whole.
Think about it, because when they control the direction of the wind, they're able to cut through the waves in a certain way. Otherwise, the waves are going to turn upside down.
Exactly. So then now it's going to capsize. But he's saying even before that before it capsizes, if you can no longer steer the boat, that is called breaking apart. It seems to be saying that breaking apart doesn't necessarily mean the boat is in little teeny pieces. You have a boat that's made from a million parts, all the parts are floating in the sea or are sunk to the sea. That's not what it means. To be broken apart means you lose control. The boat can be fully intact. If I do not have the ability to steer my vehicle, that is called, it is broken. It is shavur. And maybe that's really the point of difference between the Malbim and, he's saying very good, the point between the Malbim and the Abarbanel is what does it mean that the boat of Shavira, according to the Abarbanel, Shavira means the boat is broken into teeny little pieces. That's not going to happen when you're in the middle of the sea. It's not going to be broken into teeny little pieces. It's going to sink. So that what then does the pasuk mean? It means that they're going to do a controlled crash landing. And when they do a controlled crash landing, indeed the boat will be broken into smithereens, but at least there's a chance of survival. The Malbim says that's not what it means, shavira. Shavira does not have to mean that it's going to be broken into teeny little pieces. Shavira means you no longer have control. You could have the ship is in perfect, pristine condition, but if I don't have the ability to turn and steer the boat because the mast has been,
the rudder
or the mast, and I can't go and maneuver the boat, that is called shavira. So leave the pasuk alone. It appeared that the ship would be broken. The ultimate breaking is I can't control it, and you don't have to say more than that. And there's a pasuk that indicates that this is correct. Okay, so let's now go to the next. Let's go further.
He's bringing the proof against the Abarbanel from Vayachteru Anashim that the people tried to bring the boat
to steer it.
Before that, Yonah is telling him, drop me into the sea and everything will be fine.
So they decided,
we're not going to drop you into the sea. Maybe it'll be fine, but why should you be killed? We'll bring you to Yerabasha. But if they were to be
would be able to do it, exactly.
Right.
So this exactly goes to show the point that it's not going to be broken. Going to the Barbanel, says they're going to do a crash landing. From this positive, we're not going to do a crash landing. We're going to guide the ship to dry land.
And drop you off,
exactly. So according to the Barbanel, they don't have the ability to make that statement. The ability to make we're going to bring you to dry land, we're going to maneuver the boat to dry land and let you off, is an impossibility according to the interpretation of the Abarbanel, who says that the goal over here is not to go to dry land, the goal over here is to do a controlled crash landing. Okay, let's see Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, the next Pasuk, he writes over here, V'haloi achrei sheroh ha'sakona ha'yoloi loshev mechetoi lev. Now, he's going over here for a tangent. He's going off It's not really clear what he's doing over here.
Yeah,
but
what is it? It bolded here and not bolded.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why he's doing this. Maybe there's some mistake in the text. Let's see. Hal achrei. He's coming to explain over here the pella. There's a wonder in this pasuk. Something that's so bizarre. He goes to sleep. He says, "Oh, look at that! Look at that! There's a massive storm. The boat, and you know what? Everyone is terrified. The malachim and they're crying to their idols. And what am I doing? I'm going to sleep. Better things to do." I mean, this is crazy. This is unheard of. Like I told you on the Titanic, did someone go to sleep when the Titanic was going down? You know what? I'm going for a nap. I'm going to my cabin to lie down.
Once you decide to commit suicide, you become relaxed. In other words, if you really made up your mind that that's what's going to happen, you have that ability to just turn off everything around you.
You really need to be a superhuman.
Yeah. Well, he was. He's a spiritual person.
It's amazing. Okay, so let's see. So here he writes, he complained.
He knows how to tune things out.
His complaint over here, he should have said immediately, Chotasi. He should say to the people of the ship, So what should he have done? It's always the question you ask in life. Could have, would have, should have. You look back and say, what would have been the better decision? Hindsight is 20/20. So he should have said, all right, I know the reason why this is happening is because of me. The forecast was a beautiful day. This is super bizarre. I'm a Navi. Hashem gave me a message. All right, you know what? Let's go to Ashur. But we're supposed to go to Tarshish. The same way he had enough money to pay for the voyage, had enough money to take them all on a vacation to go to Ashur. And then the storm would have come to an end. Not to allow himself to die in the sea, Aloy Dover, for no reason. Why then did he go? Did he descend El Yarkes Yasfin to the end of the boat to lie down? What you do? A beveis shetitva hasafina. Os huanosh mashaych vim biyarkes yasfina koydim lomos. He's committing suicide. You get now into the sugya of chaye shah. Probably you can go. The darshanim of it can probably pick up on this sugya. It's like it's worse than a DNR. Okay, it's worse than do not resuscitate. It's like saying pull the plug. Over here, I am in a mat. If I go to the top of the ship, I will live another 5 minutes. Because the water is coming into the ship. If I go to the bottom of the ship, I'm going to die, let's say, for argument's sake, 5 minutes earlier. So the person is on a ship, and the captain announced over the PA system, we're going down, say your last prayers. It's over. That's it, al derech ha-teva, this ship is sinking. So, and now, anyone in the front, or on the top, everyone come up to first class. Anyone that's on top, you'll live a couple of more seconds. You'll live a couple of more minutes. Those who are on the bottom, you're going to die first. So what would you say? According to halacha, put on your briska pace, okay, and your frock. According to halacha, chayesha, you have an obligation to live every moment counts. Every last moment in life, good to the last drop. It's a Maxwell House moment. The last moment of life. Those last, so chayesha. The person, Rachmana Litzlan, is in a hospital and he knows that his time is up and he can either die immediately or he can die, he can accelerate his death, even indirectly. So is the person allowed to do something to accelerate his death, even though he knows it's inevitable within a very short time?
Does he have to extend his life?
But very good. Does he have to extend? But certainly, is he allowed to do something to cut it short? Even though, anyway, he's terminal. Of course not. And look what Yonah is doing. He's committing suicide. He's going into the bottom of the ship in a place where he will die faster. So you see, v'alo yedua be'eshetitva hasmina us ha'anashim ha'shechvim b'yarkas hasmina, those who lie on the bottom of the ship, koidimin lomos, ma'ashe ein kein ele shechem al hasmina l'mala, yuchlu li notzel al yedei daf. they can hold on to a life raft. They're not going to live much longer. Anyway, the storm is so violent, there's not much of a chance. V'chadoyme, v'lama bikesh es hamaves. So here the Malbim makes it very clear, Yonah was committing suicide.
See, but what I don't like about the whole,
maybe he thought that once he dies, the sea will be calm and everybody else will be safe.
Okay, that's an answer.
What the Barbanel says is they looked around. I mean, as we get to it, that they looked around and they saw all the other ships around them.
So before that, this was the only one. This was the only one. Everyone passed fine.
Only their boat is. But the thing is, if you wanted to minimize damage by paying for the ship so there shouldn't be any innocent passengers, the crew is still going to take, he's taking the crew down with him. So what does that say about Yonah? He's still taking people down with him.
So that's the question. The question is, what was his calculation? If you look at it at face value, it appears he is committing suicide.
I don't think he's not killing himself.
Anyway, he's going to die.
He's
accelerating his death.
He ran enough. He did enough, and that's it.
So he's saying if a person... In other words, like a religious Jew, what he's saying over here is, at face value, a person's Rachman, so he's in a hospice. And the statistics are he's not going to live more than let's say a few days, and he's on a machine. So he says to the staff, pull the plug.
I think even during the war, many people just said, I'm not going to run anymore. This is it. During the Holocaust,
they're passive. Right. I'm not going to run anymore. Whatever will be. They're passive. That's like a DNR. Do not resuscitate. But do you go out into the battlefield to bring? Anyway, it's going to happen sooner or later. But are you allowed to go out into the battlefield and put yourself in harm's way? Or not? A person Rachmanel is on his terminal. Is he allowed to say, if I come into this matzav, I want you to pull the plug immediately? Are you allowed to do that? Today it's not accepted. I don't think there's any poisek, any orthodox poisek that would say you're allowed to do that, unless the person is in enormous pain. Maybe that might be different. But here it appears being mekarev misasai biyodayim. He's being mekarev misasai biyodayim. He's being ma'abed atzmo ladas.
Not really. He's saying to God. Maybe he's saying to God, listen.
Well, that's
if you
an
want
answer.
Kill me, but I'm not doing it myself.
That's an answer.
That's what you're saying, right? I mean,
but that's a religious.
Saying,
yeah. But that's a religious answer. That is.
Yeah.
But even a prophet. Just because you're a religious person, you have to hanek them in their hearts.
But that's maybe what he said. If you want to kill me, kill
those
me, but
are
I'm
answers.
Not doing it myself. Okay.
But no, but he's being mekarev misasai.
He's putting himself in harm's way.
He's a holy person. He's a religious person. He has all these calculations. He knows what's going on in Shemayim. The bottom line is, right now, if you do nothing, you will die tomorrow.
Yeah.
By doing this, you're being mekarev misasai by a period of time. We have in halacha a principle called chaye shah. Every moment counts. It's one thing to be sheva al tase, don't resuscitate. You'll find that across the board. La halacha.
No heroic measures.
No heroic measures that is accepted across the board more and more today than ever. Okay, today more than ever, even among people who in the past went to an extreme in doing heroic measures. Today, many of these camps...
They just changed the definition now. They had a big article about what's brain dead now because they realized you could resuscitate the brain. They tried it, and it was...
Rav Moshe was right, they're saying.
And they're saying now that because you rethink the idea of brain dead doesn't really mean death.
Wow, Rav Tendler...
It was in the papers.
Avtella's not going to be happy about that.
They found they were able to, in animals, to regenerate the brain for a thought process. So
isn't that frightening? Because years ago...
Not necessarily for a time period that's not brain dead, it's not death.
So Avtella's not going to...
But it's not permanent change.
They don't know. They did studies. They're not 100% sure how it's working, but they have been able to restore certain functions.
Okay, so this is the age-old question. We're going way off the topic of brain death, burst, when the heart is still beating. What is called dead? If the heart is still beating a little bit, by on its own, and the brain is zero, zilch, zippo, is the person called alive or dead in halacha? So major machlekes. World War III will broke out over this. World War III. And it's machlekes. There is no resolution to this question. Basically, they tell people that people have this issue, Rahman al-Islam, do whatever you want. Whatever you want, whatever your heart tells you to do, go with it. Because you have sources, you have gedolei hapoiskim on both sides of the fence. So he's saying now is that the latest cutting-edge research indicates that just because our scientific instruments tell us the brain is as dead as a doorknob, it's not true. The brain is not as dead as a doorknob. It's really ticking in there.
They could inject some, what they say, some blood or whatever.
So, I mean, it's still going, okay?
Inject something and it starts to function.
Okay, that's very, very fascinating. If that's going to really be true, they're going to be looking back at what went on for the last 20 years in a very frightening
situation, but it showed something that made them think about it.
Okay, so it's very interesting. So here we have here, he's being Makarev. If you want to go look at it at face value, he's doing something which any Pesach will tell you right off the bat, he is being Ma'abed Atzmai Lodas, and that applies even L'chaye Shah for a few moments of life. We have no clue the value of life. We really don't know, and there's no way in the world we can appreciate what we have. It's Emunah. It's pure Emunah to appreciate what it means to live. We have really no understanding of this, and a person is not allowed to be Makariv Misasai even for a moment. And according to the Malbim, his understanding, he's reading into the Pasuk, he's being very, very, very harsh, and he's saying Yonah went down to the Yarkese Hasvin, a place where he would die sooner than later, Vayishkav Vayerodam. How was he permitted to do this? What is the thought process? What is the halacha? Certainly there are going to be answers, but we have to appreciate at least the question. Next, vayiru, now he elaborates. Vayiru hamalachim. Okay, remember, it's a shvonah, because there are two yuds. Two yuds, the syllable of vayi comes to an end. Vayi. The second yud is the end of the first yud. And now we come to the resh. It's a new syllable. It's a shvonah. Re'u. Vayi re'u means they were afraid. If there was only one yud, and it would be a shvonah vayiru, it means they saw with the eyes. And seeing and being afraid are two different words. And in Kriya Satoira, if you say the wrong word, lo yotso yidei choyvasoi, vayi re'u ha'om es Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe avdoi, if the Baal Kriya says, vayiru ha'om es Hashem, lo yotso yidei choyvasoi, he read the wrong word. They vayi re'u. So I said, if he says vayi re'u, what does it mean? They saw Hashem. First of all, that's blasphemy. Lo yirani ha'odom v'choy. No man ever saw Hashem and lived. So it cannot be that they saw Hashem. And it's not what it says anyway. It says vayi re'u. It is a shvonah. Vayi, pause, very, very slightly.
The last paragraph, yiru es Hashem kedoshem, it's not yiru es Hashem. There's no shva under the yud. It's yiru. Because it's again fear.
The resh is by ye. Okay,
there's no vowel under the yud because it's the same as the second.
It's
the
shva. It's the second yud. Okay.
It's the second yud. So people pronounce it wrong.
So he
yiru and it's
not. It's by ye ru. And here we have the malachim, the sailors. They were afraid. Let's see the Malbim, Pasuk Hey, page 411 on the left side. Vayi re'u ha'malachim. The sailors were afraid. Due to their fear. Zo'aku ish el Elohav. They cried out to their gods. Ki b'she he'eminu she'hazaf hazeh ba'al yidei ketzef Elohim. They were very religious people in those days. Everyone right away started the cheshben ha'nefesh. Their God is angry.
Well, when science is young, you attribute everything to a god. mean, it's the only way out, so to speak. You can't explain anything, so you think it's a god.
The gam also tachbulois and no shiois. They also did a shtadlus. You see, they were mom with these goyim. They knew how to live. They were religious, but they also did a shtadlus. We, unfortunately, either we do too much shtadlus, can we forget about God, or we just are too religious, and we don't do a shtadlus. The biggest segula to make a parnasa is to go to work. It's not to do this, to do that, all these, to go to this kever, that kever, get a job. That's the biggest school. So it says, and look at these people, these sailors, they were very real. Okay, there's a lot to learn from them. They prayed to their gods, and they also did tachbulas. They also did ishtadlus. They didn't just sit there and do nothing. They did ishtadlus. Okay, isn't that amazing? Okay, so it says here, the gam, let me find a place over here. The Ali the Yerushim Zaki Shalala Gashamin the Gam also tachbulois. They did tricks. They did techniques and no shios. Strategies. And no shios means physical things. They actually went and they did what they're supposed to do. What did they do? They said they threw the heavy luggage. All the luggage was thrown over ship. She tilui es hakilim asher bonia el hayam. So he's saying over here that it should not sink. Now isn't it funny? He's contradicting himself.
Yeah.
Because first he's so close to the Abarbanel, who says the danger is that it should not sink. He says, no, you know what you're talking about. It's not going to sink. The issue shouldn't be broken to pieces. And here he says, he says the reason why they took off the heavy items is it should not sink. Okay, v'sal al-me'ayam v'leitit ba'omdam yona, it's mamash stir m'nei obey. The Malbim is contradicting himself. Omdam, yona yorad el-yarki se'asrina v'ayero adam, he went to sleep. V'hoya kavanosak asher yorek kibshebe'es titba hasrina v'yipol l'sech hayom yesh efsharu she'yitza v'ashem l'gale hayom she'yit reduhu migal el-gal al-ad she'yushlach el-hayabasha. This is really off the charts what the Malbim is saying.
Yeah.
The mice, everyone knows, this is the Daf Yomi, we discussed this. This is the Daf Yomi Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was on a ship, and his friend, I forgot who it was there, he saw Rabbi Akiva at a distance, set sail, and he saw the ship of Rabbi Akiva sink. And he said, Ochen vei, oy gevalt, we've lost a great man. And he went back home. Who knows? Maybe they will matter his wife and Aguna. Who knows what happened? And then the next day, he walks into the Beis Medrash and who's sitting giving shir? Rabbi Akiva, I saw with my own eyes your ship sink. This is impossible. I said goodbye to you. I waved to you goodbye. I watched your ship set out into the sea. And I did not leave the shore, and I saw from a distance your ship sink. How is it possible for you to be standing here today and giving a shir? You're a ghost. This is an impossibility. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not. What happened was the ship sank, but I grabbed onto a board. And the board, and over cholgal v'gal, every time a wave came, the board was floating on the water and it went up. I went up with the board. And when the board went down, I went down with the up and down with the board. I held on to that board for dear life. And ultimately, I made my way back to dry land. And the Agudas Yisrael of America will tell you that board of Meir Shapiro, really, or Meir Shapiro says, what is the Svina? The Svina is our journey in Golos. Klal Yisrael is taking a journey. They're traveling through Golos, and in Golos we're on the Svina, we're on the rough seas, and there are dangers in our ship with this Churban. We have suffered defeat.
Sort of like what the Gro is getting into, I mean, in a way.
Yes, we did. We did discuss that. And what is that board? That daf. It's the daf Hayomi. It's the board, the daf of the Gemara. And what you have to do is hold on to the daf Gemara. And if you hold on to the Daf Gemara and every nisoyon in life, you'll just hold on to dear life, you'll go up and you'll go down, and you'll survive, and you'll survive, you'll come to dry land. That's the drush, the very popular drush, that Rav Meir Shapiro, he said this drush at the first Siyum HaShas, if I'm not mistaken. This was his drush, the first Siyum HaShas. And the Aguda is so enamored with this beautiful, beautiful drush, is that they've adopted for this coming Siyum HaShas, Mikan Lahaba, a new logo. The logo of the Daf Yomi in the Agudas Yisrael is a ship. It's a ship. It's a beautiful logo, really. It's a beautiful logo. It's a ship, and it alludes to this, the drasha out of Meir Shapiro, and the Daf Shel Sefina Nizdamein Li. So, Yonah was an Agudist. You already just said, my mayor's not here, too bad, he missed out. What? Yonah was an Agudist. He wasn't a Satmar. He wasn't a Mizrahi. He wasn't, I don't know, whatever you want to go say. He was an Agudist. Mamash, my favorite Shema album. It says, say, Yonah was in the ship, and he saw the ship was about to be broken apart, and he knew this Gemara, and he knew that if the ship breaks apart, there's going to be the Daf Shel Svina. He's going to have to hold on to it. Well, maybe Taki here, he's now, I don't want to be an Agudist. I don't want to grab on to the Daf Shel Svina. Yeah? Pumfakert. He was an Agudist. He was an Agudist. He's leaving the Aguda. Who left the Aguda? What happened to Meir? Meir is missing all the fun. Too bad for him. He's missing all the fun over here. Who was the biggest Agudist? Does anyone know who the biggest Agudist? The biggest of the biggest. The one who made the most passionate speech. Who said things that shook up the world. The greatest Agudist. Past, in the past. There's no question about this. This is a fact, an undisputed fact. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik of Boston. He was the most passionate Agudist that ever was. He was their spokesman in the early years, back in the day. Yeah. There's no question about it. And his speech, his drush, what he said is just off the charts. And what happened? He parted ways. Later years, he had a falling out. He made a conscious decision to depart. It was a falling out, means that has a different connotation. He made a decision that the Aguda is not for him. It's not what he believes in. They have taken a path that he does not feel is correct.
He never changed. They did. That was the thing.
No, I think it could be he also changed a little bit. I don't know. Yeah, that's a matter of you know, that you could
dealt with reality.
You have to draw your own conclusions. That's a question. That's Rakefet. He has many hours of shiurim on this. Did he change? Did Aguda change? It's probably a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. The Aguda took a turn, and he also had a different change, a little bit of both of here. But any event, he knew this Maimer Chazal, that when the boat breaks apart, there are going to be boards that are going to float, and you just need to grab onto a board, and you'll survive. I don't want to survive. I don't want to have an opportunity to grab onto a board and survive. Therefore, I'm putting myself in a situation where I'm going to die. Yesh efsharish, you know, they sheyitzave Hashem. He knows that Hashem will make it very easy for him to survive. He'll be a well board. Legal ayam sheyitudu migal legal ad sheyushlach el hayabasha kemas said Rabbi Akiva. What happened with Rabbi Akiva? And Lochain, therefore, Yorad El Yarkese Asfina Sheyesh Hevdel Bein Svina Bein Aniyah. Now he's coming to teach us a very important Yisoid. The question goes back, why do we use the term Aniyah and not the more common word Sefina? Okay, so the answer is, and this is the typical Malbum. The Malbum is a master. There's no one that comes to Malbum and teaching us synonyms. The ultimate thesaurus. Shasvina nikra hachelek min ha'aniya shu sofun u'mechuse lemala. The svina is the part of a ship that is hidden above. V'acheder hatachtoin shebu aniya shemisham lo yipol el hayom rak yavohu mehayom olav v'yitbasham. It is an enclosure. A svina, the word svina comes from the word safon. Safon means an enclosure, a hidden area. On a ship, there are portions of the ship which are exposed, and there are portions of the ship which are concealed. The portion of the ship that is concealed is called the Safina. Let's go further. He says, even la halacha, he says that if you have an eyewitness, we all know this to be the big, big question of an aguna. A woman, let's say, Rachman, it's on a person is missing at sea, person is missing, can their wife remarry? So you do not need regular testimony. It's an incredible chiddush lahalacha, based upon some want to say it's a pasuk, some say it's not necessarily a pasuk. Very complicated sugya. In order to be matur in eshes ish, you would assume you need two witnesses to testify. They saw with their own eyes the person is dead. That's not so. In order to be matur in aguna, you only need one witness. One witness testifies, they saw the person is not alive, and what exactly needs to say is subject to much discussion. It's enough to be matter in eshes ish. However, if there is still a small possibility that this man is alive, then the woman is forbidden to remarry. If a ship sinks, the derech klal, a woman is not allowed to remarry. If a person sets sail and there's an observer who's watching the ship and the ship sinks and you know there's a person on that ship and he disappears and one witness comes back, even two witnesses come back and say we saw the ship sink, a woman is not allowed to remarry because you do not see the body. And there's a possibility that maybe he emerged somewhere else. However, if the person you saw was inside an enclosure on a ship, he wasn't standing on the open portion of the ship, you know as a fact that he was in a room that had a door and a ceiling and a floor and four walls, and the ship sank. So then the Mabit, okay, cites the Mabit. Mabit was a very big Bukubal. The Mabit paskins. He paskins that this woman is permitted to remarry because there is no chance or very unreasonable to say that he escaped, he emerged somewhere else. However, but it says in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch that if the ship sinks, so the woman is not allowed to remarry. That is where the person was last seen standing on the exposed portion of the ship. Right, that's his comment in Mechadish. And he's coming to say that's the difference between the two words, Ania versus Safina. Safina represents the portion of the ship that's enclosed, Miloshen Safun, hidden, versus Ania is the exposed portion of the ship. Yeah. Samach, the word with this is spelled sometimes with a samach. It's also safun. The word safun appears in Tanakh here and there. And in Echram, we interchange those letters. The tzadi and the samach can be interchanged in this instance. That's correct. The word safun means hidden. It means concealed with a samach. Safun, you're right. Safun is also, we have it in the Haggadah. But the word safun is also a common word. Look up the dictionary. The word safun with a samach also means concealed and hidden. It must be related. So she'elam sevul daibed now. V'gam ha'ilo o tabes alif. Now we have a new understanding of what. Now we have a new understanding of what it means over here. It's a very beautiful understanding. Why we're changing over here in the beginning of the pasuk that he was originally vayatilu asakel masher bo'ania. We start off by telling us that everything is taking place in the ania, and then we switch here for the very first time. The end of the pasuk v'yoyna yorad el yarkesei hasafina. A very basic question. Why are we shifting from the word aniyah to the word safina? The answer is he's going indoors. Until now, Yonah is on the deck. And now he's going into concealment. And that's why we change from aniyah to Sefina. If you don't know this Yisoid, the question is, as you say in the Pasuk, V'yoyna Yorad El Yarkes say Ho'aniyah. Because that's how we start off in this Pasuk. The fact that the Pasuk changes, deviates from the word Ani to the word Sefina teaches us that Yon until now was out in the open and now is going into a chamber. Further, the second to last line on the page, V'gam Ho'ilo Otam B'zeh, there's another reason why, Sheb, and that's what wait, so let's take a step back. Or the Malm over here is just coming to emphasize that he wants to commit suicide. Okay? He wants to avoid Hashem. He wants to die. He realizes that if he goes and he stays on top of the ship in the exposed area and the ship is broken apart, then they may throw him a life raft. They may throw him a life vest. He'll find the board. He'll be able to grab onto something. Tamune Sofun. By Moshe Rabbeinu,
hidden.
Okay, so the word, so we have over here a Yonah, the calculation. Yonah wants to escape Hashem. He is afraid that if he remains above deck and the boat either sinks or is broken apart, Hashem will make it very easy for him to survive in order to fulfill the mission. This way, in order to avoid Hashem, he wants to commit suicide. He goes into a chamber where it's very unlikely that he will survive.
No, didn't know that Milokolares Kevodo.
That's he's trying to escape. A man is given free will. Free will allows you to avoid Hashem. V'gam hoylo oitam bezesh b'she ba'asher yoda she'asar hazeh hu b'shvilo. He was aware that the only reason why there is a storm was because of him. So here he's saying something very altruistic. This is what you wanted to say, but it's a little bit difficult. He is aware that the only reason why there is a storm is because of him. So therefore, let me die first. The faster I die, the faster, the sooner, the sakana to everyone else on this ship will come to an end. Turn out to page 413 on the bottom. He will choke, he'll drown. So here he's giving over here, notice he's giving two answers to this question. At face value, Yonah is committing suicide. He's accelerating his death.
He was willing to die rather than listen to Hashem.
Yes. That's the age-old question that we discussed.
The instrument of destruction of Klal Yisrael.
That's what we discussed over and over. He did not want it. He was willing to give up his life because of his love for Klal Yisrael.
Why run? He could have stayed where he was.
So I guess, why not just take a weapon and just kill himself, right? Shoot himself in the head.
Or just stay there and see what happens.
So I guess that far he felt he's not allowed to do. To go take a gun and shoot himself. And if you want to commit suicide, so do it. Who's stopping you?
He just had to know Hashem and that's it. And Hashem happens. Why run?
Obviously, there is some balance. There's some balance. So the question again is why he appears to be committing suicide in Makarvis Misa. So he's giving two answers, which are two completely opposite answers. Answer number one is he wants to die. He wants to die as soon. He does not want to be saved under any condition, and therefore, by going underground, he will die very quickly. He's not going to have. There's not going to be a chance for him to survive. The second answer is he's not thinking about himself. It has nothing to do with himself. He realized that he's anyway going to die, but let the other people survive. If he will go and die first, since the only reason why there was a storm is because of him, if he will die quickly, then the storm will come to an end and there will be a chance for the other people on this ship to survive. That's a very nice thing. Yonah is thinking about someone other than himself in his death. And these are goyim, these are people, these are pagan, these are oivdei avoyde zara. He cares about them. Isn't that amazing? He cares about these people who are crying out to strange gods. He doesn't want them to die because of him. And he wants to accelerate his death. Okay, and let's look now at the Mamori Chazal. We have enough to see the Mamori Chazal, Pasuk Hei involved. Pasuk Hey and Vav.
Initially, his rationale is that he thought he would get it, and God would say, all right, you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else to do it. And that was his cheshbon initially, until he saw God wasn't going to relent.
That's happening later on, right. So look at page 411. Very, Vayiru hamalochim ayizaku yishalal el Elohav. The sailors saw what was happening, they were afraid, they cried out, Maisa b'tinigechad shahayu b'bon b'sidu, so Maisa with a child, a little child. Va'amar aleim nachshol. Nachshol means a storm. Va'ayu zoyakim le'elohehem. Same story, story of Yonah. Kinyin shedema v'yiru'u hamalochim v'yizaku ish el Elohav. Amalochim oisayah t'nikad. Child said, Ad mosai atem nishtin. For how long will you be foolish? Shoite. The word nishtin comes out of shoite. You're a bunch of fools. Zaku l'misha bora hayom. Cry to the one who created the yom. Uva maisa l'fnei chachamim v'amru. Boduk ze umisukon. What does that mean? Boduk ze umisukon. So what is this? What is the whole purpose of Chazal telling us this man of Chazal? He's boduk umisukon. This has been tested. This is an expression that we all you find. Boduk umisukon. They want to tell you do this segula, okay? Do this segula, and you're guaranteed. Anyone that says to you these three words, you should know, run away from, like the plague. Okay, it's baduk. They really say baduk uminusa. The real expression today is baduk uminusa. Someone says, "You got a problem? I got a segula. You know what this segula is? Go to this one's kever and be mispalo." Okay, that's very nice. But they say to you, "It's baduk uminusa.
It's tried
and proven. It's guaranteed money back guarantee." There's no such thing as a money-back guarantee on any segula. No way. No way. Anyone that tells you it's baduk uminusa, he's suspect that this whole thing is a hoax. You want to go tell me to be misfollowed by a certain tzaddik? Absolutely. I don't need you to tell me that. Chazal have taught us that 1,000 times over. But to go tell me it's baduk uminusa, it's been tried and proven, what are you talking about? It's a lie. There's no such thing as a segula that's baduk uminusa. No such thing in our day and age. Baduk uminusa, hocus pocus. So where does it come from, that expression, baduk uminusa? It really comes from earlier Mamar Chazal. This is certainly a precedent for this expression. It's baduk ze umisukan. This has been examined and has been established to be correct. It doesn't say it's been established to be correct. So what does this mean? The koyach of tefila. That certainly is something that Chazal can say, that the koyach to daven to Hashem is certainly something which is baduk hu umesukon, which has been proven to work. Sincere prayer works. So the question now is, why is Chazal telling us this? There are probably a million stories like this. What's the significance of this story? The answer is they're coming here to criticize, they're coming here to shed light on the story of Yonah. They're quoting this pasuk. Okay, there was a maisa, a tinoik, going on the ship, and there was a storm, and they cried, Leilo Hehem. And we quote the pasuk here, Vayiru'u hamalochim vayizaku ish el Elohav. So, they're coming to criticize Yonah. Yonah, why didn't you follow in the way of the tinoik? If even a child knows the solution is to daven to Hashem, so why didn't Yonah say to these malachim, let me give you a shir. I'll give you a shir in Chovas HaLevavos. And that is, you got it all wrong. Don't go and cry to a foreign, a make-believe God. Why don't we all daven together to the one only God, the Ribbono Shel Olam? Why didn't Yonah do that? Even though Yonah Einoch Nami may be the cause of this whole problem, but Yonah can easily, these people, they're suffering, these are human beings, they're suffering. So for their sake, let him say, let's daven to Hashem. He had here a golden opportunity to inspire people to return to Hashem.
But he was running away from
him. So what? That's my problem. That's my problem. But you're all now in danger. If you will all dive into Hashem, Chazal say, it's boduk umesukon. It is not a charlatan telling us today, give me $1,000 and I'll go to a burial site you never heard of on the other end of the world and pray, it's boduk umenusa, all your problems will come to an end.
You knew that, this would accomplish nothing because the point of the storm was because of Yonah.
Oh, so that's exactly why Chazal, I believe, are coming to tell us this. This story must have repeated itself a million times in history. People are on a ship. You never heard of a story of a ship? And the ship, there's a storm. There's a storm. Chazal, they're telling us chidushim here. They're precious words. They're telling us there was a maisa on a ship when the ship was about to sink. And all the people on the ship started saying their last rites. They started praying with each one to all their gods. And there was a child. And the child said to the people on the ship, why don't you pray to the real God? Pray to Hashem. Don't pray to this God and that God and this crazy thing and that crazy thing. Daven to Hashem. And Chazal, they tell us this story and they comment. The child is 100% correct. It's boduk. It's been proven to work. And they connect this to the story of Yonah by quoting the pasuk in Yonah in this situation. And they're telling us, therefore, look what they're telling us, that if Yonah would have said to these people on the ship, why don't you dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam? Instead of davening to the Greek gods and all your gods, and Chazal are saying, it's boduk umesukon, which means it would have worked. Everyone here just asked the question, what do you mean it would work? Yon is running away from Hashem. Yon is running away and Hashem wants to punish Yonah. So what? Just because Hashem wants to punish me, all of you have to suffer? If all of you will daven to Hashem, then you will be spared, and I'll also be spared. And there'll be another outcome to the story.
Isn't it consistent with his avoidance of the mission of the Ninpe? That you say he had an opportunity to bring Hashem to the sailors, right?
Yes.
He also avoided bringing Hashem to the city
of Israel. So you're saying something extremely profound. Look what you're saying. Look what you're saying. You're saying something very, very deep. Hashem is telling Yonah, I'm sending you to inspire a whole country. Make believe Nineveh was the United States of America. 300 million people. Oh, so let's start. Charity starts at home. Why don't you first inspire a couple of people on the ship? You say your mama's touching on the essence. Hashem is saying, okay, Yonah, listen, Yonah, we look at the story of Yonah on the very, Yonah's, Hashem gives him a message, go to Nineveh. And Yonah says, no way, I'm not going nowhere, I'm going on vacation. Now, there's a storm. So what's the purpose of the storm? Go to third grade, any yeshiva katana, Hashem is punishing Yonah for not listening. No, he's not. Hashem is saying, let's practice. Yonah, you're going to go to Nineveh whether you like it or not. Don't worry about that. We'll get that later on. Let's practice. I'm sending you to inspire people to do teshuva. So charity starts at home. Let's practice. You're here on a ship. You got a couple of people. Whether you have 10 people, whether you have 70 people. Why don't you start by inspiring them to do teshuva? This will be your sandbox, your practice. And when you'll see, you'll have satisfaction, pleasure in inspiring these couple of people on the ship who are worshiping crazy gods you never heard of to recognize the Almighty and do teshuva. You know, you'll have a lot of sipuk hanah, and then you'll want to graduate and go on to bigger things and inspire a country to do teshuva. Even here on the ship, he's avoiding his mission. That's why Chazal are citing this Maimer Chazal. What are they telling you? They're telling us a nice story, a nice, shahaya, a nice, there are 1,000 stories like this. This is a story, it's one of a million, but we want to bring out the point. There's a child, a simple little child, who sees the MS, daven to Hashem. He tells them, and Chazal say, boduk ze umisukan. It's guaranteed to work regardless of any other issue. You daven to Hashem, you're saved. Oh, but there are troublemakers over here that deserve to be punished. No, in the zechus of the tzaddikim, so the few evildoers, they get away with it. Their punishment is lightened. We all know that to be true. Oy le rasha, oy le shcheinav, toiv le tzaddik, toiv le shcheinav. You have a tzaddik, a person really deserves to be punished, but you're living in the vicinity of a holy person. No, you get their fringe benefits living next to a tzaddik. There are perks that you're protected. His zechus protects you as well. You live next to a rasha, so the kidrig against the rasha rubs off on you. So here, Yonah is a problematic person, and he's taka the cause of all the tzaras. No, but if the people here will do teshuvah, they have also problems on the ship. If they'll become tzaddikim and do the teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch, Hashem will save them. So once they're saved, Yonah may be a little bit saved. And Hashem says, Yonah, it's your moral duty to let these people live. They're good people. These people have done no harm. Okay, they have done no harm. So what do you want from them? Tell them to daven and it'll work. And in the process, by teaching them to daven, you're really fulfilling a microcosm of your ultimate mission of inspiring an entire nation to do tshuva. And Yonah says, Hashem, I don't want to do the big mission, and I don't even want to do the small mission. Leave me alone. I don't care. I don't know for nothing. I don't want to go to boot camp to go and learn how to do this. Leave me alone. And he goes to Yachas HaSfina in order to commit suicide. Okay, so that concludes the suspicion of the words over the mountain. Suspicion of the words will stop. The Gamaya Oilotam is we finished Anshe. That's the Maim Chazal. That's it. That is the Maim Chazal. That's it. Okay. We'll stop here. Mirat Hashem. Tomorrow we will continue.